Good morning and a warm welcome to you all this morning. Special welcome to you if you're visiting with us. But whether it's your first time here, and I think somebody is here for the first time, or whether it's your umpteenth time here, you're all equally welcome. And we hope you enjoy worshipping with us this morning. It is our communion service this morning, and just to let you know that we use gluten-free bread and unfermented grape juice for our communion elements. The intimations are on the sheet. Just a couple I want to say a little bit about. First of all, Tim Still's After School Club is starting this coming Thursday. It's up in St Margaret's Hall from 3:30 to 4:30. We had the barbecue last Sunday, and I know there were a couple of families that spoke to Pete, were wanting to find out about the after-school club for their children, and hopefully there'll be a good number of kids coming out to it. But Tim does need help, so if you're able to help Tim assist with looking after the youngsters, you can get in touch with him, and his contact details are, I believe, yes, they're on the sheet there at the top, his phone number and his email address. And there's a note too about the prayer diary, which is on the welcome table at the back. And a number of people use it to put prayer requests in, and these go out to everybody who asks for them so that they can use them to focus their prayers during the week. So if you'd like to be part of that group, if you'd like to have the prayer diary sent out to you by email, then please speak to Fiona Mackay or phone. But actually, don't do it this coming week because she's on holidays. You'll not get a reply. But we'll leave the notice in. So if you want to join in that, you can get it in due course. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I greet you with the blessings of God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our God, as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. And let us pray together. Loving God, when we are gathered here, we come to worship you. And therefore, it's my prayer, and I believe that our fellow believers, help us to pray to you in faith and sing to you with praise and with gratitude, and to listen to your word with eagerness through you, Jesus, who came to taught us and tell us how to live. And therefore we ask you, although we are invited to the table this morning, it makes me think of how we eat and how we live with others. And we eat to satisfy ourselves and our hunger, but help us to remember that you are the provider of everything we have. Therefore, we know it's a gift from you to nourish us, and it brings our bodies into a good state. It's a crucial role of wealth and health being to eat every day, but together, and in the end, knowing that whatever we do, we can't claim it on our tables. It's you who gives the farmers the opportunity to farm and produces to produce the products, and that we have work given by you, or pension funds to live from, to buy the bread and the juice, the water, the wine. Therefore, in all humbleness, we thank you as the giver of literally bread and wine, but also that to our souls and our being. Bless us this morning when we gather together as a congregation, celebrating communion, celebrating the bread of life, of salvation through your blood. And bless us when we go out from this building, that we may celebrate this grace and love unto others as well. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn is God Gave Me Eyes So I Could See, CH4164. Let's sing it together.
The reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. We read from verse 7 to 23, and it's the story of the Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He'll show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Amen.
I'm not familiar with the context of the United Kingdom and what was shown on television, but I did a Google search and saw that the TV series or show called Survivor was broadcasted in the year 2000 and 2001. But seeing that, as I think my country is sometimes a bit laid back and set back, it's still a big thing in South Africa watching Survivor. And also in Australia and the Americas, it's still a big show or great show. Now, for those of you, just before the sermon gets burned, literally, for those of you that are not familiar with, who've watched Survivor back in the days? All right, two, three, yes. So the concept of Survivor would be that a group of people gets selected. Basically, I would say all around the world have the opportunity. You would enter saying, I'm a teacher or I'm a minister, what have you, and I would like to participate in this challenge where they place a lot of people or a group of people on an island or an island situation for a couple of weeks. No, not a couple. Couple would be 2 weeks in your language, for a few weeks. And then those people need to strategize and they need to survive for the period being on the island situation. So usually it's different teams competing against each other, and in the end they get voted off as people don't make the challenges or get up to scratch. But it's when you watch the series, it's very interesting. So you would compete in your group and against other groups, and you will literally survive for those weeks, having the bare minimum to yourself during the time period. And every end of the week, the group will get together, and they will vote someone out of the group, or as it is called in the show or the series, it's called the tribal council. Yes, would decide who gets voted off in the process. And it seems quite fair and easy on the surface, but there's something hideous going on underneath. It's scheming and planning and thinking, if we could vote off this stronger player, then it would be easier to win the game, because obviously that is the end goal, is to win this game and to win a lot of money. I think it's American dollars. If it was pounds, it would be better. But yes, so it's really a strategic game in all aspects, physically, but also mentally and spiritually. And trying to plan what I'm going to do to try and get to the end. And how I could even vote off those that has a fair chance to being the strongest survivor of it all. So you get the concept of Survivor if you haven't watched it. If you get to see it, it's quite interesting. My dad, he doesn't miss a episode of Survivor. It's really nice watching it. But long story short, when I read Luke 22, and I think to myself, yes, this is quite a survival story. We hear that this is quite a show going on here. When we think of the first introduction of the chapter, I see also we know that this is the Last Supper, the scene of the Last Supper before Jesus' crucifixion. But I see that there's different parts and different things playing in this survival scene. I would think if this was the Last Supper with Jesus and with his disciples, it would be a friendly environment. It would be an environment of loyalty and of friendship and of good company. But it's all but that. It's all about betrayal. It's all about denying Jesus in the first instance. When we think of the whole scenario, the first to be on the scene, making his own plans to get Jesus off the scene is Judas himself going to the chief priest and planning his strategy to get his own gain in this survival game. And then just after that, we see, all right, what's happening next? It's the group of disciples supposedly to be friends and to have worked and lived together for at least 3 years. But now all of a sudden, it's also changed because they are fighting. They have internal fights of who's the better of them all. And if that's not enough, at the end of the part or the passage that Alistair read this morning, we also find that now it's the betrayal or the scene where Jesus and Peter would struggle with each other on Peter's role of betrayal later. And we didn't read that part, but if we would continue in the same chapter, we would see, all right, the next phase would be where Jesus goes out to Gethsemane, wanting to pray and be with his disciples, needing the support, and we know the story, there's no support. There's only snoring and sleeping. And I gather in this chapter that it's actually two circles threatening Jesus in this, and this is only my words, in this survival show or this survival game. It's the internal circle of his good friends and people supposed to be with him, but they fail him. And in the other sense, you have the prosecutors outside, the Jewish leaders and the Romans, which really wants him off the scene. And then I think back to the Old Testament of the Passover meal in Exodus. And I ask myself, but what was the setting there? Yes, also the Israelites were threatened by the Egyptians and the situation. But the scene was different. Families ate together. Families supported one another. I could even imagine that friends would be okay with each other in that circumstances. And God was with them. God was helping them in this situation. But in comparison with what we've heard in the story of Jesus before the crucifixion, God the Father, it's as if he is absent in the prayer towards Jesus when Jesus asked, if this cup of bitterness could pass me, please, may this be. And I see a total different story. But it's an intense story, a story of survival. And then I ask myself, all right, coming to the Last Supper, and very interesting, there's a word play in our language. We don't call it the Last Supper, we call it the Last Night's Supper, or the Night's Supper. And I was thinking to myself, this would really be, figuratively speaking, night for Jesus. Having no friends, or having no support that you anticipated to be there, being threatened all around you. But still, and that's the message for this morning, and still he eats with them. And still the table is open. He doesn't stop the Last Supper or the last meal with his disciples. And when I think of this whole story, and I want to say, I disapprove of the word story within a religious context because it sounds like a fable within this passage, within this context. I see that the table resembles something of the brokenness of the world. I see that the table is still open for everyone that wants to sit at the table. For those who also know the bad friendships of life, that also knows the backstabbing of someone that dropped you, of a man or a wife that maybe walked out on you, a child that really, really messed up your family situation. And therefore I think to myself, and I can't speak on behalf of Jesus, he would say, all right, the first round is over. This is just a game, regardless of all the schemes and the flaws of life. But I'll tell you, there's a life outside this game. There's much more to it. And therefore, I still invite you, with your brokenness, your heartache, with your pain, with whatever you might have suffered, to come sit at the table. To eat the bread and drink the wine. And when we celebrate it this morning, we will hear that again when Jesus said, this is my body. Remember me. The wine would remind us of salvation. And the theme for this morning is, we are what we eat. If Jesus tells me this is my body, and I know we have a different belief from the Roman Catholic tradition, we see it as signs reflecting or showing towards the body and the blood. If we are what we eat, we join in the brokenness of Christ on earth, also being bruised, also with pain, but carrying the same forgiveness and the same grace and the same love that he has for us unto others. And therefore, may, and I said, it was, I think it's four sermons now, five sermons, about table and eating and dining. May our tables always be open for others to sit with us and discover that the love that you and I got from Christ is also the love we can give unto them. And may we have a place for others with openness so that they can live not only from the wounds, but from the grace of God. Amen. Lord, when we think of your word, there's so much we can gain from one passage. But just thinking and pondering on how you might have felt or experienced that evening, it echoes within our hearts. We can relate with the brokenness and pain. And maybe not everyone this morning, some might have joy. And that's also good. But thank you that you are the one that knows the cliffs of life, the deepest valleys, but also the highest mountains. Thank you that you really comfort us. That you went through a process which we, in some sense, knows something of suffering. Not nearly as you've done. But helping us to understand there's much more. And therefore, may hope never fail us, knowing that we will live from your grace, from your resurrection, towards an eternal life. But whilst being on our journey, we need to eat. We need to sit down, physically, literally speaking. And therefore, that's my prayer. May our lives be so open that we have place at the table for others with brokenness and joys, and that we may share the goodness of life, because it's in that and those moments where we discover more of life than only our own space and own story, where we discover your grace overflows so many other lives in similar situations than ours. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for knowing us. And thank you that we can come to you with our deepest, deepest conversations and share it with you. And that you have the knowledge and understanding to guide us through your Spirit, to comfort us. Thank you that your word is given in freedom and openness to read and to ponder on. We pray this in your name as Father, Creator, as Son, Jesus, our friend, our Savior, and through the work of your Spirit living in us. Amen. For everyone born, a place at the table.
Thank you.
We've just sung some very intense verses for women and men, for young and for old. There's a place at the table. And then before we will pray the Lord's Prayer, I was thinking of verse 4 and verse 5. For just and unjust, a place at the table. Abuser, abused, with need to forgive. And I thought to myself, yes, you can fill in those gaps. For everyone born, a place at the table, to live without fear, maybe you, and simply to be, to work, to speak out, to witness and worship. Regardless of who you are or what you feel, you're welcome at this table. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, I would ask you not to just say it this morning, but to really pray it from your heart, each line that we pray unto the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we come to the table, we are reminded that Jesus gave us the invitation that he is the bread of life and that whoever comes to him will never hunger again. And there's a book written by, who was the book written now? I'll get to it just now, but the theme of the book is A Journey of Desire, and I might have told you about it once. Do you know the author by hand now? It will come to me now. And he writes that wherever we'll be in life, there'll be intense moments and other times not that intense moments when we have a real journey of desire in longing a better situation than we are currently in. If we want to be truthful to ourselves, sometimes we long for more than we have currently. And that's not only physically. That's a spiritual journey, thinking, is this it? Is this the final destination? Is this it? And then something just flames up inside you, telling you, no, it can't be. I'm still longing for something more. And then John Eldridge is the author, John Eldridge, Journey of Desire. And then in the Bible, we also get this conflict between good and bad desires. The Ten Commandments would tell us, don't desire anything from someone else that belongs to someone else. But then the Psalms would tell us, make all the desires of your heart known unto the Lord. So then I'll ask myself, so what desire is this? So this is a desire for longing to be in a fulfilled world. And when we live in this brokenness, we will always long for that until Jesus comes. And I think that is a celebration at the table. To eat from the bread, we will be fed through Christ. We will always be hungry here on earth, physically and emotionally. But Jesus will feed us in completeness with his second coming. When we get invited to the table, we celebrate that. Also, the looking forward, the expectation of a new life in Christ. But when we eat the bread, and we take the bread and it's broken, we think of Jesus Christ's body, which was broken for us. And we think of the suffering, and we think of the pain that he went through. And when we will eat it, and you'll eat it on your own when you receive the bread, I want to ask you, pray and ask God, thank you that you gave your son for my suffering. but may I also intercede for others and help them to be what I eat, your body, unto others. When we think of the wine as Jesus' blood, representing his blood, we name this the cup of thankfulness, thanking him, thank you that my sin does not stand in the way, that you don't forgive me, that you don't love me, but thank you that you do love me and do give me new life. And when you drink the wine this morning, thanking him that there's always new beginnings and place at his table, an open heart from his side. Alistair, the body of Christ, broken for you. The cup of thanksgiving reminds us of the grace of God for you, Alistair. Thank you, Lord, that in this meal, which is a remembrance, we could taste and could feel something physically, reminding us that you are part of our world, this physical world of us. But whilst eating and drinking, was also thinking that you really know the parts that I can't describe of my inner being, and that you are okay with that. You accept me and everyone here as your redeemed children, as your family. Thank you that we don't need to take part in any competition to gain your love. Thank you that your love and grace helps us in the silly competition we sometimes face here on earth, but that your love wins. Thank you that we could share with fellow believers in ups and downs of life, in the straight ways of traveling ahead, your fellowship, your love for us all. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life. As Father, giving your Son through grace, Holy Spirit, guiding us on our journey. Amen. I invite you to confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed together as a congregation. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us bring our offerings unto the Lord. Lord, accept our offerings, and not only this that we bring physically, but our whole being. This is just to show that we really love you. It's not a one-way communication. This is a personal thing. Help us this week, coming, being offers unto others as well. We pray this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jim.
For the last 18 months, I've been helping with the school pastors team at the Elgin High School. Our main reason for being in the school is simply to give an added layer of support. We're good listeners. In fact, our mascot is an elephant because school pastors have big ears. We are caring and understanding. In particular, at the moment, we are helping the new first-year children make the transition from primary school to secondary school, which can be quite daunting. Please join me in a prayer for all our young children in Moray. Father God, we pray for the children of our parish, Lanbride, Urquhart, and the surrounding villages. We pray for all the pupils at Lanbride Primary School. May you bless Mrs. Ross and all the teachers who have a challenging job in today's society. We pray that you will support Tim Still in his initiative with the Primary 6 and Primary 7s on Thursdays. May his work with the children bear fruit. We also pray that you will support our minister, Atty, as he ministers to the children at Lanbride Primary School. May he inspire them to find out more about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We pray for all the children attending secondary schools in our area. May we as Christians set an example that makes them want to be like us. May they come to understand the words of that great hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus," so they know that they always have someone who loves them, someone who listens, and that no matter how lonely they feel, they have somebody to support them. May you help our children to understand that they have been given the great gift of choice, and that they use this gift wisely and turn away from the many temptations in our modern world. We commit to lead by example and support our young people wherever possible. We ask for your blessing on all our young people, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And secondly, a general prayer of intercession. Please join me again in prayer. Father God, we pause. No, that's wrong. Father God, we stop in the midst of busy lives to think of other people. We pray for those known to us who are ill, either physically or mentally. May you bless them and their families as they battle their illness. We pray for those who are mourning, whether they have lost someone recently or a while ago. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. May they draw comfort from God's eternal love. We pray for our political leaders. We are living through difficult times. May you give our leaders wisdom to make the right choices. We pray for people in far-off countries that we may never know, but who we still care for. We pray for the hungry. How often have we said, I am hungry or I am starving, with no real conception what it means to be truly hungry. We pray for people with no shelter from the elements, with none of the home comforts we take so much for granted. And finally, Father, we pray for people who are persecuted simply for worshipping you, for calling themselves Christians. May we appreciate how fortunate we are to live in a tolerant society. All this we ask in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn is also a beautiful prayer asking that God will bless us through the different gifts he gives us through his Holy Spirit. So when we sing it, it's a praise hymn, but it's also a prayer hymn. It's a wonderful hymn. Let us sing this unto the Lord. The Lord will bless you. He'll be in front of you to set your pathways ahead. He'll be behind you to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil, be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms, be under you to lift you up the day when you might fight, fall, and be above you to bless you, and he will live within you so that you may dwell in his grace and love. Amen.